Psalms 134, and it reads like this. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Happy New Year. The Lord has been faithful. Let me just first rush to thank all those who prepped the building to be here this morning. As I arrived, sidewalks were shoveled or plowed, the salt was laid. So thank you to so many of the deacons. I just had to clear out my car, and that almost deterred me from going to church. I guess I had to preach. Well, let's pause and turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and as the snow has covered our city, we are confident that the great God can cover this room, that you can meet every need, that you could lift every countenance, that you could supply what is lacking, that you would strengthen what is weak. And so we turn to you and ask for your word to go forth. Your word has promised that as it goes out, it is effectual. So would it accomplish all the purposes for which you send it out this morning? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was the final evening of the celebration. Multiple days of celebration have already transpired, and it was the evening of the final festivities. The city of Jerusalem was certainly filled to capacity, and it was the last night of assembled worship before the people dispersed to their respective homes the next day. We can say it was the closing ceremony. It's not difficult to imagine Psalm 134 to be the song that accompanied the closing ceremony that final evening. It is the final track of 15 psalms that we have looked at beginning in Psalm 120. They're called the Songs of Ascents. They are songs for the journey. It's historically believed that as the people of Israel made their annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem, these songs were sung by the Jewish worshipers finding their way. Three times a year, they were instructed to go to Jerusalem, whether it be to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, or the Feast of Weeks, possibly a representative of the giving of the law at Sinai, or the Feast of Booths to commemorate God's faithfulness in their wanderings. They were to travel to Jerusalem. This album began in Psalm 120, and we find God's people at a distance in Meshech and Kedar. With the traveler looking through the hills or upon the hills in Psalm 121, approaching their destination, Zion, the city of God, where his temple stood. Now on the final night, they're looking, after the celebration, they're looking ahead to going home. Having assembled in worship, they were now to disperse into the world. And as we spend our time together this morning, my hope is that what emerges is a template for our assembling and our dispersing. Our coming together and our going forth, our gathering and our scattering. We are to pattern ourselves in much of the same way the people of God or people of Israel did so in this song. Here for us is a template, a practice for the Christian. In preparing for this time together, one author has actually asserted that in this psalm is found the very purpose of all of life. To bless God and to be blessed by God. To bless God and to be blessed by God. It's certainly the theme of the text. It's mentioned three times, once in each verse. It's a picture of blessing ascending toward God and blessing descending to us. As God's blessing comes down, our praise goes up. As our blessing ascends, his blessings descend. It is, if I may use the phrase, the circle of life. It is certainly the circle of blessing, as one has titled it. It brought to mind that diagram that probably happened in elementary school, that diagram of the water cycle. You might think, you might recall it very vividly. A picture of the Earth's ecosystem. You have a mountain, set of trees, there's a lake, and there are the key terms labeled across the picture. Key features: precipitation, what falls from the sky, evaporation, what moves up toward the sky, what comes down finds its way back up and continues. And this is what we're supposed to get a sense of in this psalm. The text breaks itself into two parts. Verses 1 and 2 are simply titled Blessing God. And verse 3, Blessed by God. It's a life of blessing, a life of giving blessing, and a life of receiving blessing. Firstly, let's take a look at verses 1 and 2, Blessing God. The psalm opens up with an invitation and an exhortation to bless the Lord. It's a call. You see that. Come, assemble, gather together. It's a summons. It's directed to all the servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. The Old Testament gives us glimpses of Israel's worship. It happened not only in the daytime, but we also know it happened in the evening as well. Musicians were to play in the morning as well as in the evening. These worship services were led and conducted by priests who had responsibilities. They were to care for the temple in the morning as well as the evening. They were to, you might recall some of these responsibilities. They were to make sure there was fresh bread on the table in the morning as well as in the evening. The candles were always to be lit in the morning as well as the evening. And regardless of whether there were people in the temple or not, the priests had their duty to maintain the temple. Whether they were alone or among others, it was their priestly duty to maintain the rituals associated with the temple, even after hours. Worship was to continue, even when no one was there. It was ongoing, regardless of convenience and schedule. Whether it was the morning or evening, the Lord deserved worship. And so it went on. If he be the God that neither slumbers nor sleeps, then his worship ought to ascend, even when the majority of the city was slumbering and sleeping. You see, similar to the sentinel, I've never been there, but I've read it. Similar to the sentinel that's placed in the tomb of unknown soldiers, every 30 minutes, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the soldiers rotate. Unendingly, whether the cemetery is open or closed, whether anyone sees it or not, it's part of their duty. And in the same way, the priests, it's part of their duty. Now, the commentators are a little bit divided on who's being called to this praise, who's supposed to participate. We see it here in verses 1 and 2. It's individuals who stand by the night in the house of the Lord. They're encouraged to lift up their hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Was it merely the priests who had this graveyard shift? Or could it possibly be during festival time that the courts of the temple were packed with the crowds of the people? Was it an early evening service where there were bystanders where the temple grounds were filled with participants, young and old, and this invitation to bless the Lord was given to all, or was it late night, where it was just the priests doing their duty? It's not clear. And whether it be limited to the priests or open to all the participants, the summons is the same. Bless the Lord. Stand and lift up your hands in prayer and praise. Now, before we proceed, we have to answer this question. What does it mean to bless the Lord? The root of the word actually, in the original language, closely identifies with kneeling. To bow down in reverence and humility. Eric Kidner writes, to bless God is to acknowledge gratefully who he is. To bless the Lord is to call to mind the glorious things that he has revealed about himself, as well as the glorious things that he has done. To bring ourselves low, to kneel in worship and adoration. To bless the Lord means to attribute to God what he says he is, to recount the wondrous things he has done, to lower ourselves, to humble ourselves, to prostrate ourselves, and to lift him up. Now, before we proceed, as we think about blessing God, this is why it's vital for Christians to know the God that is revealed in the Bible. We cannot bless the God we do not know. I cannot adore whom I'm unfamiliar. I mean, imagine a dear friend of yours who is recently engaged, and they come to you and they're ecstatic. And you ask them, well, tell me about your fiance. Tell me about your fiance. And your expectation is they would tell you all about their fiance, about their physical characteristics, about their attributes, about their character, about their qualities, about their traits. And in the same way, for those of us who love the Lord, we are to be those who are able to speak of the attributes and the characteristics of God, his traits, his qualities. We must speak of who he is and how he's revealed himself to me. Here to bless him means to tell and to celebrate him. His omnipresence, that he is wholly present in every place, especially present with the believer, as he has told us that he would never leave us or forsake us, or his omniscience, his complete and exhaustive knowledge of all things, past, present, and future, so that the unfolding of his will is perfect, whereby we can say that we know that in all things, God works together, all things together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. His omnipotence, his might, his greatness, that all might and power belong to him, and all opposition will succumb to his greatness, and that even the humanly inconquerable or unconquerable powers of sin, death, and hell will be dispelled. His goodness, that he is always constantly seeking our welfare and well-being. His holiness, that he is separate from us, separate from evil, demonstrating moral perfection. His righteousness, he always acts justly and rightly. And there's so much more. His mercy and his grace, his slowness to anger, and his abundant, abounding, and steadfast love and faithfulness, his forgiveness. And you see, it's important that when we bless the Lord, we actually know what we're blessing about. That is why we come and we sit under his word. That is why he is involved in our lives. That's why he gives us experiences to assure us of his presence and his faithfulness. To bless him is to bow before the God of the Bible. It is the acknowledgement and adoration of God. See, being the final song in this album, it actually communicates the goal of the pilgrimage, the The goal of the pilgrimage from, let's say, a family that's far in the remote regions of Judea, all the way culminating in the temple grounds. What is the goal of assembling in Jerusalem? Well, we assembled, many of us, with family. And oftentimes, you know, someone, a young child may have said, oh, we're going to Jerusalem to be with family, to celebrate the festivities, to exchange pleasantries, to receive and give gifts, to share meals. And certainly those are true. But those are all displaced by the ultimate goal of gathering to bless the Lord. To bless the Lord. And I'm going into year 7. And I can say my desire, the onlookers, the neighbors, the colleagues, what goes on in that building? Did they really spend that much money to restore that crumbling structure? Are they really meeting in the, they've assembled on grass yards, gravel lots, and now in a basement. What happens in there? Is it just a social club where we get to embrace friends and meet face to face? Is it a place where I send my kids so they'll develop some moral compass to live life? Is it just a building where they can check off a checklist and stamp their stamp and say they've done their duty? And what transpires within this people, within this building, is not a social club. It's not a, it has some aspects of moral formation, but that's not the primary reason. We gather to bless the Lord. To bless the Lord. That is the goal of this gathering every single Sunday morning. We are reenacting these festive gatherings on Sundays. Why? To bless the Lord. So that every unbelieving neighbor might know, why are you in there? To bless the Lord. So come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. What is the business of Christ Church Chicago? Bless. Well, secondly, verse 3, blessed by the Lord. We are not only to bless the Lord, but we will find we are blessed by the Lord. The third verse in the psalm is a petition before God. It is a request that, Lord, I have blessed you. I have looked upon you, and I have responded in praise and adoration. Now would you look upon me? And graciously act. Look upon my needs and meet them. Look upon my inadequacies and overcome them. Look upon my lack and supply them. What I have done toward you, God, will you do for me? Would you reciprocate? Would you reciprocate? The people are called to bless the Lord, and now the Lord is called upon to bless the people. The people acknowledge the presence of God in their lives. Now, God, would you acknowledge our presence in your life? It's a reciprocal relationship that emerges in this psalm. And you can imagine as this album of 15 closes and the festivities wind down, the last petition is an invitation for God to bless. It is the desire for God to look favorably upon my life. You can imagine, I've celebrated for a week. I've met with you, Lord. I've cried, recalling my deliverance. Grandfathers and great grandfathers have told of your preservation of your people. Thanksgiving. I've watched sacrifices take place. I've seen the blood of bulls and goats in my stead. And I've been reminded that you provide, protect, and are present with your people. And as I go, God, as I leave this place, would you continue to go with me? Would you bless me? See, the invocation in verse 3 is the desire of every worshiper. Every worshiper wants to know that the Lord is with them, is on their side. The Lord who made heaven and earth. They're not seeking blessing from a monarch or an empire, but they would go to the one who had at his disposal all of heaven and earth. Blessing would come from the one without any limit, hindrance, impedance, or restriction. The implication of this would be that there is no circumstance so dire. There is no room so dark. There's no need so great or situation so hopeless that God could not somehow intervene and bless. If you truly are the God who made all of heaven and earth, then send me anywhere in heaven and earth and put me in any situation in heaven and earth, and I can be assured that the Lord of heaven and earth can meet me there and somehow redeem that circumstance. That's what the psalm is saying. This is why we call upon the Lord. See, we often think of blessing as financial or material prosperity, but it's so much more than this. It's wholeness, it's gladness, it's joy. It sometimes manifests itself as strength and difficulty, or contentment and lack. Blessing is the favor of God to enrich you in any circumstance in life. The psalm began with the Lord as the object of the blessing. And as the psalm closes, the Lord is now the subject of the blessing. He is the one who blesses. It moves so marvelously. The request goes something like this. May the power that I've acknowledged, your omnipotence, your omnipresence, your grace, your favor, your mercy, all of that that I've praised you for, may it now, in verse 3, flood to my life. That's how the psalm moves. May the God that I bless, his character, his attributes, his being, may it show up in my life. Frankly, it's a pretty terrible trait, isn't it? God, I come to you. I bless you with all my being. The God who is abundant and has all things, has no lack, has no need. And in return, you are mine. Prayer, feeble, lacking, with great. We go to the one who made all things as people. We need all things. The psalm makes it clear that the source of blessing is the Lord. But for Israel, the people of God, it would proceed, it would come from a particular geographical location. The psalm is very geocentric, and by that I mean it's very location specific. It mentions Zion in verse 3. Place is very important. It mentions it in verse 2 as well, the holy place. And for the third time, it mentions it in verse 1, the house of the Lord. The psalmist understood that God is the source of blessing. But the pipeline or the channel from which it goes out is from Zion. That's where God dispenses his blessings. And that is why for the Israelites, it was so important to take part in these annual pilgrimages. They were significant. To travel to Jerusalem was significant not only to bless God, but to be blessed by God. It's this feeling of, if I can just see it, if I can just taste it, if I can just feel it, if I can just hear it, if I could just stand in it, I would be blessed if I could just be there. And for those of you familiar with the history of the Bible, or Bible history, this is why it was so tragic when Jerusalem was besieged, when the temple fell, and the worship system ceased. Because for the people of God, they could not conceive of blessing without a temple. With no temple, there was no worship. Without the building, there was no blessing. Yet God's plan is not thwarted. No longer would blessing be confined to a place. It would now be dispensed through a person. And you know where I'm headed. It would come through a person, namely the Lord Jesus. That every blessing that you receive in your life is from God, is tethered to the Lord Jesus. It is no coincidence that when Jesus arrives in Matthew's gospel and he begins preaching, and he preaches about the blessed life, for he himself was the source of all blessing. It is no coincidence that the Apostle Paul, he understood this when he makes the outrageous declaration that in Christ, every spiritual blessing is found. For in Christ we have received our greatest blessing. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not count his sin. See, what the psalmist could not foresee was that blessing would no longer proceed from the place of Zion. Rather, it would come from the person of Jesus. It is therefore on the grounds of Jesus that at the end of each Sunday worship service, whoever is up here closes the service and gives a benediction or a bestowal of blessing. That the blessing I'll give to you this morning is not on the grounds of the fact that we're indoors, though we celebrate that, but on the grounds that in the Lord Jesus, all blessing is yours. All blessing is yours. Whether it be in a grass field, a gravel lot, a grandiose building, we acknowledge that it is not the place that is the channel of God's blessing, but it would be the person of the Lord Jesus. So as we gather, this is our template. We assemble. And blessing rises, and our petition is blessing would descend. That while God above blesses, his people below bless him. And it is not meant to, we cannot think of it as transactional. It's not that I bless God, so somehow he blesses me in return. No, it's mutual. It's certainly relational. It's ultimately covenantal. Our blessings rise while his blessings descend. And to illustrate this in conclusion, I just want to show you this. If you have your Bibles, your whole Bibles, I know some of you just carry around the Psalms, but turn with me to Luke's Gospel. The last chapter in Luke's Gospel highlights this cycle of blessing, this circle of blessing. Luke chapter 24. Jesus has died, resurrected, and he's about to ascend. And Luke notes this for us, which I think so marvelously captures Psalm 134. Luke 24, verse 15. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. And so here you have it, divine blessing on God's people. And what is their response? and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. As the blessing came down, the blessing went up. May that be the state of this congregation. We bless God, for we have been blessed by God. Father, we come to you this morning, and we give thanks. We give thanks that in the mystery of God that we have found, we are those who have encountered a person, that from this person flows every spiritual blessing. May we embrace, may we worship him, may we bless him, may we kneel and bow down before him. So, Father, as we look to the days ahead, would we be known as a congregation that transcends all the perceptions of what a church is, to be a people that bless the Lord Jesus. We ask these things for Jesus' sake.